I want to stay in that moment. It is so good to see everyone here today. You guys look beautiful. I love, there's just such a beautiful healing atmosphere. Sometimes there are no words that need to be spoken. There is nothing that needs to be done other than our need to just sit in God's presence. Simply what that means is just sit in the awareness and the reality that God is with us, that he never leaves us, that that's a promise that he gave to us, that he would never leave us, that he would never forsake us, that he would always be with us, even until the end of the age, or translated the eon, until time is no more, that God would be with us. So even in the moments that it feels like, because I've felt like there have been moments in my life that God just was not there. And what I discovered when it was all said and done, that God was using those moments to bring me to another place and to bring me to a place of maturity. So I'm grateful for that today. I'm grateful that God is always with us, that he never leaves us. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome to Oasis, if this is your first time here. And I pray today that God would say something to you today, that there would be an impression in your heart, that something would happen for you today that would cause you to move a little bit closer to the Father, that would cause you to hear his voice just a little better. You know, I always encourage everyone, and I never pull back from that, that it is important for us in our lives that we find a place of balance. And I don't care whether you identify as a believer or not, I think the balance is still healthy. In any culture, in any religious tradition, they still tell you that balance is healthy. But in this Bible, it tells you that too, because it says that a false balance is an abomination, but a just weight God delights in. So God wants you to be balanced in your life. You've always heard me say this before, that we are triune beings. There are three parts of us. Even though all you see is one part of you right now, you are spirit, you are soul, and you are body. In the realm of your soul, there is your mind, your will, and your emotions. We don't realize it because we see our physical selves, but we are more spirit than we are body, all right? We came from God as a spirit. We possess a soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, but we live in this body. That is why it is always important that our minds are transformed, that our hearts are renewed. That is why it is important that we find balance in our life, because when we do not find balance in our lives, we are, like the scripture talks about, we are unstable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we are tossed and driven like ships on the ocean when our minds are not renewed and our hearts are not renewed and our minds are not transformed. So my prayer for you in your life is that you would find a place of balance, is that you would find a place of rest. We live in a busy culture. We live in a culture that says you got to go get it. And I'm not saying that work is bad. I'm saying, and when I talk about rest, I'm saying that there are moments when you just need to cease from your labor. There are some of you in this room that even when you go to sleep, your mind never goes to sleep, because it's like even in your sleep, you're like tossing and turning because you're thinking about stuff. You're thinking about the next day. You're thinking about the next situation. You're thinking about your life. So you never get an opportunity just to rest yourself. Sometimes God just wants you to sit down. And I know some of you all are looking at me like, how you do that? Because that's hard for some of us, just to find a place of rest. I told you all, you know, I'm a music person. I majored in music education in college, so I love music. I have Sirius satellite in my car, so I got like 200 channels, so I can listen to everything at all times. All right, so it's like it's never quiet in my car, and when it gets quiet, I'm like, okay. But I've had to learn over time to just turn the radio off sometimes and just learn to let God speak in the silence. See, we want God to speak with this big, loud, thundering voice. It is I, my child, and I have come to make your life better. And sometimes God doesn't speak that way. Sometimes God speaks in an impression. Sometimes God speaks through circumstances. Sometimes God speaks in a still, small voice And my contention is that God is always speaking. It's a matter of whether we're always listening or whether we have cleared our table enough to give us the ability to hear his voice. That's the issue. Sometimes we're just so busy. And I want to encourage you, all right? I need to say this today. I want to encourage you. Please take the time out to just be quiet sometimes so that you can hear his voice, so that you can get that impression from God. God wants to say some stuff to you that Pastor Kenneth Gerald could never, ever say. God wants to speak something to you concerning the transition you're in, concerning the place that you're in, concerning the people that you're with. Sometimes, and I've told you all my testimony, sometimes God allows things to be disrupted where you are because you stay in a place and a space too long. So sometimes it can get disruptive. And maybe if we would have just gotten quiet so that we could hear the voice of God, we would have been able to clearly hear that God was transitioning us. Some of you all are just completely tired of it, and you're frustrated with the place, the job that you're in. And I'm not telling you to go quit. Don't do that now. All right? Because we're not big enough yet to pay your bills, right? All right. But what I'm saying is that if you could just be quiet long enough, maybe you could get enough clarity. Let me give you this testimony. My sister was going through some just crazy stuff where she was and at her school. And I've talked to you all constantly about her and how she went to this school as the principal that was the third worst elementary school in the state of South Carolina. And in the last 5 years, she has lifted them up out of the pit. She has engaged everyone from pastors to parents in the neighborhood. And literally, the last 2 years, I've got a ton of teachers in the room right now. They're excellent. Their improvement rating has been excellent, and their overall rating was a good that they've never gotten in the history since the school literally has been founded. Most of the teachers know essentially what that means. So she's lifted it up out of the pit. And she felt like God was calling her to a place of transition. But I said, hey, man, don't get comfortable because he'll kick you out of the boat. Literally, within the past month, her superintendent was like, well, we need somebody local to be in this principal's job. Just random. Most people, you know, now I'm her brother now. Can I give you a testimony? You know, there was some moments in that process that I was like, you know what, I'm going to Orangeburg, you know, we're going to strap up and we're going to Orangeburg, you know. I told y'all I was a country boy, okay? I was like, I'm going to just strap up and we're going to Orangeburg and I'm going to talk to him, all right? but in the midst of that, I realized what God was doing, because there have been some other opportunities that have been offered to her that are like in district offices that are over all of curriculum for an entire school district. But in the midst of that, we were struggling through, like, why are they, you know, this is spiritual warfare. The enemy is coming for you. When we really found out in the end that it really wasn't the enemy coming for her, it was really just God kicking her out of the boat, because for some of us, God's got to kick us out. There's some of you in here that went through situations just recently that it's like God had to kick you out because you were never going to leave because you were comfortable. I'm being the life restoring presence of Jesus right where I am. And God had to disrupt some of the stuff where you were so that he could get you to where he wanted you to be. Let me speak this over you. Let me prophesy this to you, that the next season in your life is going to be better than you ever imagined before. This last season was rough because you never imagined that you would be in the place and the transition that you were in. But God's waxed you strong in that process. And when you get to the next place, what appeared to be a ceiling on one place is really going to be the floor of the next level that God moves you to. You understand what I'm saying? So I just want to encourage you with that, that you just need to wake up with a new perspective. Your perspective is everything. How you see it is everything. That's why it's important for us to come in here as a body of believers and worship the Father together. Because what it does in a moment like this, it brings us into a new reality. That's why I always say to you in Mark 1 and 15, the time is now, the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. When you come into a place like this as a body of believers and we sing these songs together and we worship together, it brings us into a new reality. What it does is it does what David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. It enlarges God in our circumstances, and it makes him bigger in our situations. And what happens in that moment is it shifts and it changes our perspective, and we see the world completely differently than we previously saw it before. So I want to encourage you today to allow God to shift your perspective. Stop squirming in the place that you're in and be quiet long enough just so that you can hear his voice. Somebody say, be quiet. I don't want to say shut up because there's some children in the place. But sometimes God just wants us to be quiet long enough so that we can hear his voice. In the last week, because literally they were trying to figure out how to get my sister out of the school. I mean, and her teachers were in an uproar. It was chaos. Till the superintendent just came over one day and said, hey, we'll pay you. Just go home for the rest of the year. And she called me and she was like, what is going on? I was like, just relax. I said, I don't know what God's doing, but he's doing something. Now, in the last week that she's been home, like, she said that her face had broken out. It all went away in a matter of 2 days. She couldn't sleep. She said she hadn't slept like this in 5 years. I was like, let me see. How long you been there? Let me see. 5 years. She hadn't slept like this, and she's had these moments of clarity just in the last 5 days. See, sometimes God will remove you from a situation just so you can be quiet. Sometimes he will isolate you. Some of us hate to be alone. We got to have, like, I was telling my wife, it's like Jamie is kind of like me. Like, I could go to a movie by myself. I can take a cross-country trip and just give me a couple of James Taylor CDs and some Prince. Okay. CDs, and I will drive from here to California on my own. I'm cool with that. Blake, on the other hand, Blake needs like 60 people around him at all times. So he's bugging me the whole weekend. Daddy, can I go to this? Daddy, can I go to Kenyon's house? Daddy, can I go to QJ's house? Daddy, can I go? Daddy. Some of us can't stand to be alone, and that's what some of us need. Some of us just need to be alone. No, I can't. No. Is it important enough for you? Is what God has for you important enough that you could just be alone just for a moment? That you can get quiet enough just to hear his voice for a moment? I know that's difficult, but God wants to say something to you. I don't care how old you are. See, it, for the young people in here, it would be better if you learn this now, because I'm nearing 50 and I'm just getting it. All right, I know I don't look that way, but. My wife told me that the other day. She said, you look good. I was like, for real, girl? It's all right, okay. I'm gonna see you later. But sometimes it just takes us getting alone so that we can hear his voice. God wants to speak to you. I don't know who that was for today, but I needed to give that to someone. I just felt that bubble during worship. I just felt that bubbling up in my spirit. I just feel like I need to say, all right, y'all have a great day. I'll go home now. But I just felt that bubbling up in my spirit for someone. All right? Listen, let's pray. Let's pray. God, we love you today. And we pray that every word that was spoken in this moment would not fall on deaf ears. But Father, we pray that it would penetrate our hearts. God, we pray that it would make us better. We pray that it would transform us. May we be forever changed in your presence, God. Father, I pray for everyone that's in this room today. Someone struggling, they're in transition, they're trying to figure it out. They're in a life transition, they're in a major life transition. It just seems like the answers are coming. God, I got to admit, I don't necessarily have the answer myself, but I know that you have the answer, God. And if they could get with you and be quiet just long enough to allow your Holy Spirit to minister to them, Father. You can bring some clarity to it all, Father. And I pray that today, God, is that they would get quiet long enough so that they could hear your voice. Father, remove every distraction. Remove every hindrance and every barrier. Father, give them peace. Give them strength and give them courage. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to jump into this because I need to get this, some of this stuff to you all too, especially for those of you all who are married, in relationship, not sure what that is, in relationships. I need to get this to you. Open up your Bibles or your iPhones or your Androids, whatever you have, open it up to 1 Peter chapter 3. I always encourage you to, you know, you can, it doesn't matter, because I love these principles. There's some principles that I'm going to talk about. Yeah, I'm not sure what that is at all. It may be me. It is this? Okay. All right. I'm sorry, y'all. Right. Verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 8. It'll be up here if you don't have the ability to see it. Finally, hear these principles, guys. Hear these principles. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. I know that's hard sometimes when someone does you wrong because you just want to get them back, right? That's hard for all of us if we're honest about it, because our human inclination is to respond or react. That's how we're wired. That's all right. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. See, that's hard right there. Like when you're in the midst of an insult, it's like, I remember when I was in grade school, you're like, you duty head. I bless you. That wasn't my response. Now, your mama's so ugly. Our response is not to bless them. That don't even feel right, does it? It doesn't even feel right. It's like, you make me sick, Monica. Right, see? Her human inclination is not going to be like, you know what? I may make you sick, but I love you and I bless you, brother. That is just not how we are. It's instead pay them back with a blessing, but that is what God has called you to do. So in other words, that may not necessarily feel natural to us, but it is what God has called us to do. You remember I talked about calling, how it means that we've been called out, we've been set apart. That's what church means. It means ecclesia, ecclesia, which means the called out. We've been called, God has called you to do this, and he will grant you his blessings. So in other words, he's saying is, if you can do this, if you could just restrain yourself in the moment that you want to respond with your hands, or you want to respond with a sharp tongue, and if you could bless them, I'm going to grant you this blessing. It says, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life, okay, this is the contingency here. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, listen to this. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. You know, it's hard for some people to go a whole day without saying something negative. Think about that for a moment. Because like, if you see someone, sometimes you're like, you know what? Like, I don't even like that hairdo. She need to be on that green smoothie cleanse. Because it just comes up out of us and we just say what we feel. But what would it be like if we could tame our tongue? It's like, man, you know what? That's a different hairstyle. That's great. even if we didn't feel that way. But what comes out of our mouth is still filled with life and still filled with blessings. Now, I'm not telling you not to deny the truth, all right? But okay, those are two different things, okay? That's not what I'm saying, all right? But what I'm saying is that we've got to find a way to allow our perspective to shift the way that we speak. Let me read that again. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Because you know what? Because the energy and what it brings to you and what it, your words are like seeds. All right? And the world around you is like the field, the soil that you sow those seeds in. Your life is like that field. And when you speak certain things out of your mouth, it has a way of organizing itself around you. So that's why you've got to be careful what you speak out of your mouth. You understand what I'm saying? I know it's like some of y'all have never heard this before, but what I'm in any, and I say this again, because we have people that come from different walks of life here, from different religious traditions. Some people didn't even come from a religious tradition, all right? But regardless of what culture or what religious tradition that you have come from, in every tradition, they always say the same thing, that your words matter. That your words, even they've taken the whole New Age thing that they'll talk about, you know, positive affirmation speaking. That's scriptural. And we get our underwear in a wad over it. All right? Just speaking over our lives, just speaking godly and good things over our lives. Now, I'm not saying that we can speak material things and they can just materialize. I'm not saying that. But it's important that you say the right things over your life. It's important that you speak the right things over your children. It's important that you speak the right thing over your marriage. All right? Because there's some things you can say them for so long that they'll take root in your spirit, or they'll take root in your marriage, and then your marriage will start to believe what you've spoken over it. You got to be careful what you say. It says, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. In other words, it takes work. It just doesn't happen. Nothing just happens. It takes work in order to accomplish it. As I was studying this week, I was I'm all over the place kind of when I'm studying, looking at different things, and I was literally looking at Charlie Brown. I know, like, how could Charlie Brown relate to this? But I'm talking about relationships, and there was a moment in there where Lucy said to Snoopy, sometimes you bug me, you really, yeah, y'all heard that before?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you really bug me, but I got to admit that there are times when I just want to give you a big hug. She said, sometimes you bug me, but there are other moments where I just want to give you a big hug. And his response is what? Well, that's why I'm huggable and I'm buggable. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? It feels like that in some of our relationships, that we need each other, but we annoy each other sometimes. Now, I'm not just talking about marriage today, because this series is called Relationships. I'm talking about relationships, all right? All right, and how we shift our thinking, how we shift ourselves to another level. Sometimes it feels like we need each other, but then it feels like we annoy each other. I read this story. It's like two porcupines that have been huddled close together on this cold night, and the closer they get together, they start sticking each other because they're getting close together. And because they don't want to stick each other, they start moving farther and farther apart. But the farther apart they move, the colder they get. And they realize that the only way that they're going to survive is that they come back together again. So now they had to navigate through this moment where they've got to come back together again, even though they're sticking each other, even though they're rubbing each other the wrong way, because the only way that they're going to survive is that they come together. That's how life is sometimes. There's some people in your life sometimes that just rub you the wrong way, and they just, yeah. And it just feels like you just want to get as far away from them as you possibly can. But the farther away from them, let me, I'm sorry, guys. The farther away that you get from them,
the more you realize that you need them in order for you to survive. That's what it feels like in our lives sometimes. Sometimes the people that we need the most are the ones that rub us the wrong way. We need each other. They needed each other, but they needled each other. They needed each other, but they needled each other. Sometimes that's how we are. We need each other, but we have needled each other. And remember I said this to you all last week? It was like that apathy. You've been hurt so much before that now you're apathetic and you don't believe anything. You're just like, I don't need anybody. I'm cool by myself. So consequently, let me say this. Some of us sabotage our relationships because we just rather be alone than be willing to work through the hard stuff. And sometimes the hard stuff has nothing to do with where we currently are. Sometimes the hard stuff has everything to do with what we've experienced before we got there. Remember I said earlier, it's all about your perspective. I want to get this to you guys. Y'all know how I am. I don't want people to come here to Oasis and not be changed and transformed. I don't want to just make you feel good. So sometimes I'll say things to you that are hard, that will make you think and will make you grapple with your reality. Because, see, it's hard when you're in that place and in that transition. But once you get to that healthy place, it's like, man, this is life like I've never experienced it before. But sometimes our brokenness and our dysfunction wants to keep us right where we are. I don't want you to stay there. I won't say I'm like Dr. King. I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the promised land. But there is something beautiful on the other side of your circumstance. There's something beautiful on the other side of your apathy. You can love again. You can experience something beautiful again. Let me say this to the married people, and some of you all know exactly what I'm talking about. And it feels that way sometimes. It's like I heard someone say that before marriage, opposites attract, but after marriage, opposites attack. That's not everybody's testimony, but I'm just saying. Before marriage, opposites attract. After marriage, opposites attack. I don't think that's us in here, but I've heard that a lot. You know, it's like because we've not been taught how to manage. That's what I'm talking about today, managing conflict in relationships. We've not been taught how to manage conflict in our relationships, in marriage, in our courting relationships, in our friendships. We've just not been taught how to manage conflict, all right? There's an old saying that says, we long to live in heaven together in God's glory. To live together down on earth, well, that's another story. We long to live together in God's glory, but to live here on earth, that's a completely different story. It takes work for us to live down here. The world is filled with conflict. The world that we live in right now, all you have to do is turn on the television. All right? That's why, my take here on political stuff is like, we believe in endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. That's why you never hear me talk about political stuff in here. I never will. All right? Nobody in here knows where I stand politically. I don't even know where I stand now after all this craziness. All right. So sometimes it just helps us to come together in a place of unity. That's why it's important for us to just protect our gates, our eye gates and our ear gates, because we can be all over the place. All right. So we've got to be careful because we live in a world that's filled with conflict. But if we do what Peter said, in that first, he says, all of you should be like-minded. What if we did that? If all of you should be like-minded and sympathetic, should love believers and be compassionate. That's the NIV version. I like that one. And be compassionate and humble. Like, all of you live in harmony with one another. All of you pretty much covers every one of us in this room. That every one of us should be endeavoring to live together in harmony. No one, none of us, not one of us in this room is exempt from that, all right? Live in harmony doesn't imply uniformity, or it doesn't necessarily imply union, all right, where everyone is just affiliated with each other. It's just, it's a common bond. It doesn't mean that everyone's saying the same thing. When we live that, when we live in harmony, all right, we're different. All right? Different, you heard me say that before? Different is not bad. It's just different. All right? I always say this, and I used to say this whenever I would, because I've been called into a number of churches to help rebuild their worship and arts departments. It went through a season in the 90s and the early 2000s where it was all about kind of the worship and arts, and people were using flags and all that stuff. And I would always tell them, you know, people like what they know, but they don't know what they like. They like what they know, but they don't know what they like, because if you've not experienced it, you don't know whether you like it or not. All right? And then what happened is that when you embrace those moments, sometimes you find out that there's a whole other world out there. Remember I told you that we only use about 5%? There's a reticular activating device at the base of our brain. We only use about 5% of our brain. You ever seen that movie Lucy? Where it's like she took the pill. And it's profound spiritually. Like if you maybe I'm the only one who got that in there, but like she took this pill and she started using more and more of her brain capacity. And the more she took, the more of her brain capacity that she used. I wonder what would it be like if we would open ourselves up to God so that He could use more of us. Literally, scientists have spoken that, they have recorded it, that we only use 5% of our brain. I imagine that the people like the Einsteins and people like that probably tapped into about 10 or 15%, which, you know, they're very different people. You ever met somebody, the smartest people has a tendency to be kind of different. You know what I'm saying? There's a couple of y'all in here right now. All right, but but it's almost like they see the world differently. They believe that they can. They believe that they can accomplish anything. And many of us live in fear. But with the 6 or 7 or 8% that they use, they just believe that anything is possible. What would it look like if we could really believe that God could use all of us? Let me say this to you. Harmony is a oneness of heart. All right? Write that down. It's to have a oneness of heart, a similarity of purpose. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're always saying the same thing, all right? Conflict is inevitable, okay? You can't get away from it. In marriage, in friendships, where you work at, conflict is inevitable. When more than two people come together, the potential for disagreement absolutely increases. Would you agree with that? When more than two people come together, we were planning, we had to postpone it, but we were planning a mentoring meeting because we're starting a mentoring program here at Oasis. And I think Jocelyn or Shanetta, one of you asked me, like, how many people are coming? I said, it's only going to be like maybe three of us. Because, like, my experience is that when you have a meeting, it's like the more people that are in that meeting, sometimes the less you get done because the more chaotic it becomes. So you've got to be extremely careful in terms of things like that. So you're going to have conflict. So what do you do in those moments? Any moving machine is going to experience friction. All right? Any moving machine is going to experience friction. The only way to eliminate the friction is to stop the machine. That's not what we want to do. The only way to get rid of that friction is to stop it. In any relationship, you're going to experience conflict. So we've got to learn to manage that conflict instead of always quitting. Remember I told you that, like, when I first got married, and me and my wife had been together for 19 years, married for 17. I saw conflict managed when my mom and dad would argue, by my dad just walking out and coming back 3 days later. So when we got married and we had conflict, my first inclination was just to shut down and leave. And I wouldn't come back 3 days later now because I ain't had nowhere to go. But I would just go to the office and stay for 4, 5, 6 hours. And I would just literally in the middle of the night, I would just go to the office. That's not the way. I had to learn. It took a lot for me. Sometimes I just had to just. I'm just going to sit right here. I'm going to listen. Because I told you that last week. It's dishonoring. It was dishonoring to her for me to walk away. Because what that says is that what she felt wasn't important enough for me to stay in it and fight. See, that's not what I said to her, but that's what it unconsciously communicated to her. That she wasn't important enough for me to stay and fight it through and try to get to a place. Remember I told you last week, communication is not just someone talking and you listening. Communication is about meaning and understanding. Because you can talk all day and never understand and never get meaning of anything that the person is saying. You know what I'm saying? So I had to learn to, I had to discipline myself to just learn to sit there sometimes. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the person that's telling you what they're telling you is always right. You know, you heard the saying, there's three sides to the truth. My side, your side, and the truth is somewhere caught in between. Because we see it through our lens. We see it through our perspective. But sometimes it's more powerful just to sit and listen and try to understand. See, we're always seeking to be understood. And we're never seeking just to understand. Because a lot of times we're so broken that we're just waiting for the opportunity to defend ourselves. I told y'all that before. Have you ever had an argument with somebody and when they responded, it just felt like it had nothing to do with what you just said? Because they weren't even tuned into what you were saying. They were already drafting their response or their statement. So it was like, I didn't even hear you. They sound like they have you ever, some of y'all in there, you know what I'm talking about? Because you, that's how they sound to you. But we've got to learn to discipline ourselves in order to hear so that we can. The only way to stop conflict is to kill the relationship. And you don't want to do that. The goal in operating a machine is to reduce as much friction as possible. All right? What that does is it improves the efficiency and it prolongs the life of that machine. So what more would it do if we learn to manage the conflict in our relationships? It would improve the efficiency in our relationships and it would prolong the life in our relationships if we could do this. All right? Let me give you these. These are some principles to diffuse conflict in our relationships. All right, they're just simple. Number one is walk in their shoes. Walk in their shoes. He says in verse 8, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters. Simply to be sympathetic means to be understanding and to validate someone else's feelings, right? So what I was learning in that moment, that me and my wife would have what we call intense fellowships, all right? I was learning to validate her feelings, all right? Because I hadn't learned that. Now, if that's been you, that's okay, all right? Because now I'm getting the truth to you. Because some of us just didn't, it's hard for you to be responsible for what you didn't know, all right? So If you don't want to learn the truth, you might not need to come back during this series because I'm going to get some stuff to you. I'm not going to give you a bunch of churchy theological stuff, all right? I'm going to give you some scriptures and principles that's going to help you, all right, that's going to transform you, and I'm going to get the truth to you in these scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? But if I had to work to get to that place, and when I did that and when I sat, and I still have those moments. What was that? Yesterday we were talking about something. And, you know, I kind of took offense. I was like, well, hold up now. So you saying that I nurtured that? I was like, no, wait a minute now, because you often La La Land somewhere. Wait a minute. And by the time I said, let's try to get some understanding here. And by the time we talked about it, we were communicating two different things. And she was like, oh, okay. So that's what, oh, okay. Well, I didn't get that. And I was like, okay, so I understand what you meant now. But we had to sit there long enough to navigate through the waters of meaning and understanding in order to get to a place of fruitfulness. But most of the time, we don't want to, what? Oh, you just, okay, all right. I'm a holler. I'm going to the movies. We just want to leave and we just want to go. Or I don't want to talk about this no more. I know I'm talking to somebody here. Just say ouch. We don't want to work through the hard stuff. See, our day would have been completely different yesterday if I had just shut down and been like, I don't want to hear it. You're accusing me of something that I have no idea what you're talking about. If I would have shut down, our day would have gone completely different and would have not been fruitful yesterday. But because I took a moment and just was like, okay, breathe. Okay, help me understand what you're... Didn't I say that yesterday? I said, help me understand. Right, that's my nice way of saying, I don't understand. Help me understand. So I'm putting the responsibility. Help me. I'm open in this moment. Sometimes we have to get to that place if we want our relationships to grow and go and be fruitful. The command that he gave to us is that we would be fruitful and multiply. God wants you to be fruitful. All right? There's an old Indian saying that says, I will not criticize my brother until I have walked a mile in his moccasins. I will not criticize him until I've walked a mile in his moccasin. I've read this prayer by St. Francis the other day that says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. May that be our prayer. We may not necessarily know all the reasons why conflict has arisen, but trying to understand the roots is the first step to diffusing the conflict. If you don't know the roots of that conflict, you can't uproot it. So what happens is that when we don't take time just to listen, it's like a wind. It's like a wave that carries us farther and farther out into the sea. Just take a moment. We don't know what someone has walked through. So we don't know how they see and how they perceive. All right. Number two, remember that you all are on the same team. The second part of that verse, it says, be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. So essentially, we were potentially about to be in conflict about something that Blake had done yesterday. You know, if y'all got boys between the ages of 11 and 13, 14, I'm not talking about you, Ben, but in that, that's one of my basketball players right there, you all, for my team. But in that age span right there, I mean, it's like, no, I know how to do this. Am I right? The Audette's back there. If you got a boy in that age range, it's like, no, I got this. I know how to do it. And so we were talking about that. I mean, it may be girls too, but I know it's boys on another level. All right? But we came together and we realized, okay, and I said to her, I was like, okay, because I don't want you to think that I'm fighting against you now, because I'm not going to let my son disrespect. I told y'all, I was laying on the couch one night watching a football game, and he said, his mom told him to do something. He said something to it. I felt like I was in the Matrix. I couldn't get up fast enough. Like, what did you say to my wife? I didn't say your mom. I said, what did you say to my wife? Because you disrespected my wife. See, that puts it on a whole nother plane right there. Because he didn't disrespect, because if he disrespects his mom, that's his mom. That means he has ownership. No, you disrespected my wife, so you disrespected me. Put your hands up. But we realized in that moment, hey, we're on the same team. And that's what Peter's saying in this moment. We're on the same team. We're in the same marriage. We're in the same family. We're brothers and sisters. We don't compete with each other. We complement each other. We minimize conflict by maximizing cooperation. We minimize conflict by maximizing cooperation. And let me say this to your parents, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. If your kid sees that he or she can get a foothold with one of you, they're going to manipulate the other one and walk away like this. Don't let them do it. Don't let them fool you. Oh, no. Don't let them do it, all right? Don't let them do it, all right? You guys are on the same team, all right? Teammates display three important actions that diffuse conflict, all right? Love, compassion, and humility. Love, compassion, and humility. Love says that I'm going to look out for your best interests, all right? It says, love says, let's stop attacking one another and let's attack the problem, all right? Compassion says, let's not just talk about loving one another, but let's demonstrate that love by what we say and how we act towards one another. Your words are important. How you act is important. And humility says that love is not proud. It admits fault. I know as perfect as you think you are, sometimes you're wrong. And I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about in relationships. And sometimes you just have to say, I'm sorry. Those two words can be really, really powerful, you know? I'm sorry. Those words can set someone free. I know that the scripture says, you know, that we should forgive 70 times 7. But the scripture also says if you have an ought with your brother and you bring a gift, to lay your gift on the altar and go get it right. You know, so you remember I was talking about balance earlier? So it's about balance at the same time. God wants your life to be balanced. All right? So humility says love is not proud. It admits the fault. It's honest about weaknesses and our needs and our failures. All right? It uses phrases like, I need your help. I was wrong. Please forgive me. All right? We've not been taught that stuff. All right? Harrison Emerson, I was reading something that says, speaking of major conflicts, he says, there are many opinions. I'm not always sure whether they are right or wrong, but there is one thing that I am sure of, that courtesy and kindness and tolerance and humility and fairness are right in your relationships. Opinions may be mistaken, but love never is. Opinions may be mistaken, but love never is. Number three, give grace and blessing. Verse 9 says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. And in any relationships, there are going to be times where you have disagreement and you have conflict. And at those times when you face that, you like to reciprocate with retaliation and revenge, or are you going to respond with a blessing? Because a lot of times if you reciprocate, it just takes it farther and farther and farther down. Y'all know one of my favorite prophets always said, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Don't count your money while you're sitting at the table. I'm from that generation, y'all. Sometimes you just got to know. And I want to give you this. All right, because you don't want to, all right, to get even is to throw a bucket of gasoline on the fire and watch it spread, all right? But the Bible says give blessing, or in other words, throw a bucket of water on the fire and put it out. Have you ever seen two people where one wants to fight and the other one doesn't? Where the one saying crazy stuff and the other one just refuses to respond with the same negative energy and anger that person? I know that's hard, you all. I must admit that I'm in a process myself. So I won't stand up here and say I'm being transformed by these very words, all right? Because our human inclination is like, what? What did you say to me? Oh, you don't know me. Because that's our human inclination. But that is not The God part of us, that's why we should be balanced. That's why your flesh should have no rule over you. Because if your flesh had its way, you probably wouldn't even be here right now. You'd probably be locked up because it's like, yeah, I told them not to mess with me because they don't know me. They don't know who I am. They don't know me. No, I'm just... All right. To give a blessing to another person is just to give them some slack and to overlook the minor faults, to understand that everyone has a bad day sometimes. I remember I've been coaching football for like the last 4 or 5 years, and I said to one of my coaches one day, because he was screaming at the kids, like, you better get yourself together, man. I was like, bro. I was like, man, they are like 9 and 10 years old. They've been in school all day. Maybe he's just having a bad day. Maybe that could possibly be the issue. They're kids. They have bad days just like we have bad days. So sometimes you just got to give people some grace because maybe they're just having a bad day. And number four, this is the last one. Control your tongue. Control your tongue. And that might be one of the most important ones. So you ain't going to tell me. I know some of us, I tell you that story about I was a staff pastor at a church. Y'all don't know the church. And I was talking to one of my worship team members on the phone one day, and it's not Oasis, of course. And he was talking to me, and he was just like, Pastor, the Lord has been doing some great things in my life, and he's just been revealing himself to me, and it's been amazing. And, you know, I was meditating on the scripture this morning, and he's just giving me, and I was like, man, that is amazing. I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, that's awesome, bro. And I said, hey, listen, let me call you back. And he said, okay. And I just put my phone down on my desk or something, or I had it down on my desk on speaker, and he didn't hang up. And for the next, like, he said, all right, bye, Pastor, Pastor Kenny. And for the next 10 minutes, all I heard was, and let me tell you something, bloop, 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 and another thing, bloop, 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 and another thing, bloop, 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 and another thing, let me tell you something, why don't you pull over, bloop, bloop. I mean, it was a tirade of, I was like, oh my God. I said, Craig, and I called him, I said, Craig, he was and the phone just went dead. I was like, hey, you know, when I saw him the next time, it was like the first time I saw him, he was just like on the other side of the building. Like, you know? And I was walking behind him too, like, Craig. He's like, come give me a hug, brother. How you doing, man? So it's cool, man. I understand. We all in a process. All right. But if we could tame our tongues, the Bible talks about that. It's a little member that causes a world of iniquity. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Do you know that your tongue can speak evil over you? I can't do it. I ain't gonna make it. I'm never gonna be successful. I'm never gonna have a happy relationship. You're not, because you keep speaking that over your own life. So what it does is it starts to bring you into alignment with your words. The more you speak it, the more you believe it. The more you speak it, the more it shapes your habits. So over time, it's like, and then you're frustrated as all get out with where you are, and you're trying to figure out why you're here. But this is hard. But if you could get back to the moment that you started speaking that over yourself or someone spoke it over, now you got to break those words from off your life. God, I'm sorry that I ever said that about myself. I'm sorry that I ever said that I couldn't be successful or that I wouldn't make it. I'm sorry that I said that I would never have a happy relationship. God, I'm sorry that I spoke that over my son or over my daughter. I'm sorry that I said that to him, God. Could you forgive me, and could you give me enough strength and clarity to make it right, God, and to do better and to do the right thing? And from this moment forward, God, with everything that is within me, God, I'll commit to doing better. I'll be disciplined in my life. I'll work to hear your voice, God. I'll sit and I'll be silent, God, and I'll listen to you. I'll be transformed in your presence, God. Taming your tongue, it's important because it really does shape your world. Don't believe what they told you, that it doesn't matter, that what you say doesn't matter. See, I hate this conflict that's going on in the world because there are people that have maybe that are not of faith that have hijacked some of the principles of the faith, and because they are working. Do you know that there are people that are even not of the faith that are working the principles of the faith, and they're seeing the fruit of it? And we over here mad. Say, you mad, bro? We mad because they're working the principles. We struggling with that. They're working the principles. We act like it's some supernatural principle, like of sowing and giving. So pastors, we get in church sometimes and we just focus on financial giving. If you give me $1,000, God will give you $10,000 back. I never read that in here. All right? I'm just being honest, okay? No shade, but I'm just being honest. All right? But the principles of sowing and reaping govern the universe. All right? I got friends. I got a friend that I know who just started investing. He studied the stock market, and he started investing and made a ton of money. And he took it all out and put it somewhere else. It's like he put in 1,000 and he's probably made 50 over the time. See, it's hard for some of us to hear that because we've been inundated with certain things for so long. It's like, no, dang, he ain't talking right. Okay, I'm trying to get this to you now. There are certain things that just govern the universe. So what you say out of your mouth matters because they are seeds. And don't let the seeds that you sow be genetically modified.